Me and y'all believe it's good to look at the word, you know, when you hear the word, faith come by hearing and all, but looking at the word, that just seems to help me. I don't know if it helps y'all, but it helps me.
It helps me too, Dan.
Yeah.
To see that written word. And I love the promise there. I always, always love that. I know y'all guys do too. I will come again. You know, that's our hope. But we're gonna look at something this week, going back to the temple that was built, that the Lord gave, you know, David instruction on, and David, you know, had his son Solomon build it. But
did you get first or second Chronicles?
First Chronicles.
22.
Yes, ma'am. We're gonna go through like five chapters like real quick right here. Nick, we're in First Chronicles, chapter 22. And we're talking about the building of the temple here. And in verse 19, I'm going to read through some of this real quick so y'all just follow me. He says, "Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise therefore and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God, to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and of the holy vessels of God in the house that is to be built to the name of the Lord." And chapter 23, "So David was old and full of days, and he made Solomon the king of Israel." Verse 4, "On which 24,000 were to set forward the work of the house of the Lord." 24,000 men. And Jesus, while they talk about the temple, worked on it for 46 years. Completed it, but 24,000. Okay, flip over to chapter 24. And if your Bible has it, mine at the head, it says the division of the priest. And we see, if you'll look and read on there, but let's read down to, or read verse 18. 24:18. It says, 3 and 24 to Deliah, and 4 and 20 to Isaiah. But he divides the priesthood up into 24. Remember, 24,000 men work, divides the priesthood up. And now in verse 25 here is the arrangement for the music. And if you'll turn and read the last verse in chapter 25, it says the 4 and 20th to Ramanazir, he and his sons and his brother were 12. But we see where the music is divided into 24, you know, 24. Now in verse, or chapters 26, and in verse 17, it talks about the arrangements of the quarters here. In 17, it says eastward were 6, northward were 4, southward were 4, and 2 and 2, and westward 4, and by the causeway 2. And these are the divisions of the quarters, and if you add that all up, it adds up to 24. Y'all with me? Okay. Look over in chapter 27, you'll see, my Bible says the top, the military and the civil officials. And you'll see that these are all divided in 12 groups, but they have 24,000 divisions, or 24,000 men in each division. So we can kind of gather here that 24 just seems to be a pretty good number in associating with the temple, don't it? You know, just all throughout here, I got thinking about this. And if you, let's go to the book of Revelation.
I'm
sure you're
going there.
I mean, yeah, all roads are written, like Brother Mom used to say, all roads go there. Mm-hmm. But chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, "And the four beasts had each of them 6 wings." Well, 6 times 4. 24. And they were full eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was, and which is, and which to come." And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne who lived forever, ever, and the four and the 20 elders, how many is that? 24. 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that lives forever and ever. And they say, thou art worthy, O Lord. But we see 24 associated with the praise to the Lord, or the priesthood. 24 is associated with the priesthood of God. You know, last week, we give the scenario, you know, the scenario, Psalm 119, you know, we said, what if the Lord was to come this year? Right? Remember us saying that?
Yeah.
And we added 7 years, and that adds up to 26, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we said those 7 years, at the end of the seventh year, we see the wheat harvest coming in Psalm 126. You over that?
Yep.
Okay. So, there's 150 Psalms, and you take away 26, and that leaves you with 24. And the Bible talks about a day, how many hours in the day?
24.
A day with the Lord is 1,000 years and 1,000 years. Mm-hmm. Okay, what if, I'm just saying this, not, mm-hmm. you know, putting everything in stone, what if rapture happens here, 7 years of tribulation, and you have 24 psalms to represent this 1,000-year reign with Christ? Because
mm-hmm.
we see here in the scriptures that 24 associated. Well, I'm going to go back to the Psalms. Psalms 127. Remember who built the temple of the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
We said it was Solomon, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Psalms 127 would bring us to here. Okay, 119, 7. And then the following year, we have Solomon. And this is a Psalm of Solomon. He says, except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. And except the Lord keeps the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. These people here that went through the tribulation, what they did, they built a temple, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, the labor was in vain on it. Been where I'm coming from on that?
Mm-hmm.
Now I got a question for y'all. I thought about this more on the way. This third temple, has it, do any of y'all know? I'm asking, I don't know. This third temple, will it be used in the millennium, or will it be destroyed and then rebuilt by Christ?
It would definitely be destroyed. I'm pretty sure of it. Because, see, all weapons are pointed to him, pointed to the sky. You know, people think that the nations are going to fight each other, but they're actually going to gather together, because it's what it says. All the weapons will be pointed towards him when he comes. They're going to try to fight Christ, and it's going to be a stupid battle. But I believe that Jerusalem will be completely wiped out, because you know what the Temple Institute right now is doing? Most people don't even realize this right here, but this is fact. They're actually conning people out of their money. They have enough money right now to build 7 temples. Literally. Big cash for them, too. They have enough money to build 7. They're conning everybody out of their money. Okay? That's really basically what they're doing. They're even admitting it in certain areas. Okay? None of this right here is going to happen until, I believe, I've been studying about the courts, okay? And you're right on that 24. Did you know there was 24 in the divine council? Go research over in Genesis chapter 10. God set up a divine council, 24. You go again after it messes up, he redoes it again. There's 24 in the divine council. When Isaiah went, in Isaiah chapter 6, when he went there and stuff, God was talking to people. And that was the divine council he was in. We have to go. I want to tell you something. Unless we do this as a whole in America, and I mean what I'm saying right here from the bottom of my heart, unless we do this right here in the ecclesia, the government, because that's what ecclesia means in Greek, government. The government of the body of Christ comes in before the throne room of God and asks the just judge, just, what has Satan got against America? Because everything's getting worse. You have no idea, man, what's happening. It will blow your mind. But I'm talking about the body as a whole has got to come in before the throne and say, Lord, what has Satan accusing America of? For the homosexuals to literally take over the schools, you name it, they're taking completely over. You socialism taking completely over. Communism is going to take completely over unless we go before the throne as a body, okay, a government. You have seen nothing yet. Because, see, God will reveal it to you. We'll be able to deal with it. We'll be able to stop the accusation because he's got an accusation against us. We can step into that divine council because we have the right to. Jesus took down the veil so we can go in with boldness and ask the Father, who is the just judge. You know, I always wondered what a just judge was. You know what a just judge is? A just judge is somebody that cannot be swayed by your opinions, by anything. I don't care what it is, he cannot be swayed. Okay? You can't buy him. You can't manipulate him. Nothing. But now, if there's a case against someone, okay, and the accusation is true, okay, the judge has to render verdict against that person, okay? The only thing that stops Satan, if we apply it, because we've got to apply the finished works of the cross, is this. When we step before him, the accusation may be true, and more likely it is, okay? The blood of Christ is sitting there with us, speaking for us. Jesus is our literal attorney. That's what it says. He's our advocate. Mm-hmm. And the Holy Ghost is our counselor. He's the one that prepares us for court. He prepares us, teaches us all things, brings all things to our remembrance. This is what happened to, for 300 years before the Bible was made in 300 A.D., the church, the body of Christ, the government, took its authority, and man, revival was happening for 300 years. It didn't matter about all the slaughter of the Christians. It eventually trumped all of it. And that's what we can do today. We can stop all this. Because we have everything working for us. We just got to apply the finished works of the cross. And I mean it. We can stop it.
Got that thought.
Well, let me say something, then we're going to get married. Let me just say for Mary, I'm up here. Did anybody watch Jared Kushner this week? Popular Muslim world. You know, he addressed them, you know, Israel and Palestine is right there. But I noticed this one thing, I've read it in the newspaper all week long, I don't know if I say it on TV, but the first nation he asked help from was Europe. He's asking y'all, you know, he's asking the world to come together and get this $50 billion and all, but he asked Europe first and need your help. I thought that real interesting. Well, come on, man.
Okay. Brother Charles, would you really just pray on these people?
Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the word that has already been sown here. We thank you for these two that is going to bring the finished word today. Yes. Bless it, anoint it, and let it be so. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay. When the students are ready, the teacher will appear. I'm here. Me and the Holy Spirit, we're here to teach.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Now, I don't have much time, but we're going to stay in that vein of love. That's what we taught the last two Sundays. We've been teaching on love.
Amen.
And the reason I... The Holy Spirit dropped this into my spirit is because when we look at the body of Christ and we think about love, we try to do that love that the world do. You know, we're so used to that love that the world display to us. I love you if you do this for me, and if you don't do that for me, I don't love you. We can be in and out of love. But the love that we're talking about, you can't do it that way. Now, we're going to go back to our scripture, Romans 5 and 5, as a backdrop scripture. You probably don't have to turn to it, because we're going to be moving so fast. Romans 5 and 5 tells us that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. Where it had been shed abroad at? In our hearts. Not in our heads, not in our soul. So that creates the little problem there when we try to say, I'm trying to love you, or trying to walk in love. Because in our last week lesson, who did we say? We said it's our responsibility to put love on. He asked us to put love on. Put it on. And the way we put it on is in our souls and in our minds, and then because it's been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit got love there. He got the kind of love that took Jesus to Calvary. He got that kind of love that, the same love, the same kind of love. But how do you get it out your heart to the areas where you need it the most? Your responsibility is that you put on love. You get in the Word of God and you study His love. And you put that on in your mind. You remind yourself that the love of God has been shed abroad. And it's so many love scriptures. And you do it with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit gives life to the Word. Yeah. Not just you doing it yourself, but with the Holy Spirit. Because He gives the life. Who gives life to the Word? The Holy Spirit. He tells us, you know, He helps us. And when He said He shed it abroad in our hearts, shedding it abroad in our heart means that it's in there in abundance. You never run out of love in your heart. You never had come up with a situation and say, I don't have enough love for that. The only way you can say that, because you have not established it in your soul. You have not transformed your mind to what's on the inside of you. If we just live from the inside, we try to live from the outside for what we see, and, you know, like we've done and when we were in the natural man. But living from the inside, that's the supernatural man. That's where He wants us to live. He put a kingdom down there. He put the love of God and shed abroad in our hearts. And if we can cooperate with the Holy Spirit, we can come up against any giant.
Hallelujah.
Any giant. But we got to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, because He has everything down on the inside of us. That love that we need. You know, it says if you learn how to love God and learn how to love people, He said, you wouldn't need to learn nothing else. Not really. Because those two things, they hold the whole command. If you love, you're going to do everything right. And if you love God, you're going to... See, that's the reason He said love is key. It's a key thing. But Romans 5 and 5, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. There was two prophets that said they had an encounter with God. And they thought, you know, that they were going to have this big encounter with God, you know, when He, you know, came to them. And one of the things He asked one of the prophets, what have you done with the love that has been shed abroad in your heart? What have the people done with that love? The Holy Spirit did His job. Now, you know how the Holy Spirit does? He flows out of us. But if we are in ourselves, want to do things in the flesh and in our own way, when He wants to flow out of us, there's a blockage that'll say, I want to do it my way. And when that blockage comes in, then you can't allow the Holy Spirit to do like He wants to do. Paul says, not more I, but it's the Christ that lives in me. He said, Paul. He says, no more I. I mean, it was him so bad till he would kill people. He said, it's no more I. I done put the I away. He says, no more I, but it's who? The Christ is living in us by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that's living in us. And if we learn from the live within, I mean, I can understand why Paul prayed this prayer, that the eyes of their understanding being enlightened, that they may know what they have on the inside. He said if they could understand what they have on the inside of them, we already got it. It's on the inside. What's the hindrance? The transformed mind. We don't want to take the responsibility of transforming the mind. You came here today to transform your mind. That's what, if you're not coming to class to change, you're coming for the wrong reason.
Amen. That's right.
The word, don't try to change. Never try to change. Just get the word. And the word will work. He'll change you every time. But if you say on your own, well, I'm going to try to be good. I'm going to try to be good, Samir. I'm going to try to do it, you know. And then you find out something comes up. It's not working. But if you get that word down in you, let it transform you, that word will change. That word will